Amen. You may be seated. Happy Fall Friday. Love the weather out there today. Hey, since school started last week, I've had a lot of people asking me about my summer. And my response is, my summer was good, but it was busy. And the main reason that it was both good and busy is because we had two weddings within our family this summer. In fact, just this past Friday, not even a week ago, September 2, my oldest son was married in Lexington, Kentucky to a beautiful, godly young woman by the name of Hannah Beth Wyatt, who is now Hannah Beth Boersma, which was awesome. And then earlier this summer, in May, my daughter Emily was married to Patrick Sanders, who is as fine a son-in-law as I could have prayed for. Both weddings were very, very special. In fact, in Aaron and Hannah Beth's wedding, I had the great privilege to officiate the wedding ceremony. Come on. How many fathers get to... Yeah, come on, you can give me that. Oh. How many fathers get to marry off their children? That is awesome. However, I did not officiate the wedding ceremony of Emily and Patrick because I wanted to be a dad. I wanted to be the father of the bride, which carries all of its own benefits as well. First and foremost is walking my daughter down the aisle, which I want to talk about more in a minute. But the second coolest benefit of being the father of the bride is the father-daughter dance at the reception. It was awesome. It was, how can I explain it? Well, in fact, I'm not going to explain it. I'm going to show you. Come on, come on. That is sweet. It doesn't get much better than that. Or does it? Because I got a verse for you from the prophet Isaiah in the Bible that I believe could radically change your heart. How's that for a setup? Listen to the word of God speaking through the prophet Isaiah from Isaiah 62:5. Hear the word of the Lord. And as a bridegroom rejoices over a bride, so shall your God rejoice over you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. This is wedding language that God is using to describe his great affection for you. Let me read it again. As a bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall your God rejoice over you. This is wedding language that I believe describes a very specific wedding moment. And I'm pretty confident of it because I experienced it firsthand when I was walking Emily down the aisle, and I have pictures to prove it. Here's Emily and I walking down the aisle. Knockout. Woo! Anyway, notice Emily's eyes. They're not looking at me. I'm trying to get her attention. She has no interest in me right now. She is locked down on Patrick. Show Patrick. Patrick isn't looking at me either. He is locked down on Emily. And it's an intense look. I saw it firsthand as a dad. It's a wow kind of look. It's a I'm digging on you big time kind of look. It's a look that reflects a deep intimacy for the other. Now listen to me. The prophet Isaiah just tells us that's how God looks at you. He's crazy about you. God digs on you and me. And that's the main theme that runs throughout the Bible, from the opening pages of Genesis to the closing pages of Revelation. God over and over and over again says, I love you. And his love for you is not based on your beauty. It's not based on your goodness. It's not based on your enoughness, if that's even a word. But it is based purely on God's unconditional goodness and grace. Can I get an amen for that? I only heard half of you, which means there are some of you sitting right here today in Dimmitt Chapel who are just not quite sure if this is really true, whether God really does love you that intensely and that intimately. You're a lot like Kenny Johnson. Kenny Johnson was 18 years old when he was drafted into the Army. And at boot camp, he quickly became friends with a young man by the name of Pat Sullivan. And after boot camp, Kenny and Pat were deployed to combat duty in Vietnam. And 6 months into their tour of duty, their company came under surprise attack by the enemy. And Kenny and Pat quickly hunkered down in their bunker. Minutes later, a live grenade rolled into their bunker. And Pat Sullivan looked at the grenade, tossed his gun calmly to the side, and laid his body over the grenade to take the full impact of the explosion. Pat died immediately, but Kenny survived. And when Kenny completed his tour of duty, he promised to visit Pat Sullivan's mother, which he did one cool fall afternoon. And when he approached Mrs. Sullivan's house, she greeted him at the front door, and she directed him into the kitchen where she had a cup of coffee awaiting him. After some small talk, Kenny finally asked, Mrs. Sullivan, did Pat ever mention me? And Mrs. Sullivan replied, oh, yes. He mentioned you quite regularly when he wrote letters to me. Did he talk about our friendship? Again, a strong affirmation from Mrs. Sullivan. Oh, yes. And then finally, Kenny mustered up the courage to ask, Mrs. Sullivan, do you think that Pat loved me? At which time, Mrs. Sullivan slammed her cup of coffee down on the table and said, how dare you ask if my son loved you? He gave his life for you. For those of us who are here this morning who are wondering, does God really love me? God's answer to you is, of course. My son died for you. The Apostle Paul puts it in this way from Romans 5:8. But God proves it to you God proves his love for you in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for you. That is how crazy, madly, intensely, intimately in love God is with you. And if you allow that gospel truth to sink deep into your soul, it will radically change your heart. As a bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so your God rejoices over you. Take it from a father of the bride. It doesn't get any better than this. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, go in peace.